Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for dropping in, checking out today's BR Guest Podcast. Get ready for a trip report. You know, if you can't get down to Walt Disney World or sail with the Disney Cruise Line, the next best thing is to kick off every Monday pretending like you're at your favorite place. We've got a great show lined up for you, but first, a word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books by author Jeff Barnes. You got The Wisdom of Walt, the original book about Disneyland and Walt Disney taking his experience in films and in animation and making that a three-dimensional experience that you could walk through and you could experience. But also, more importantly, it talks about Walt getting the most out of those around him. And you can do the same with your everyday life. Walt left us lots of lessons with how we interact with our friends, family, coworkers. And you get that in The Wisdom of Walt and Beyond The Wisdom of Walt as well, focused on Walt Disney World down in Central Florida. Two great books to pick up right now for the Disney fan in your life. Check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com. That's the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for with pictures, and so much more. For the price of a few Mickey bars, you're going to get 365 days of great information that will, I promise you, make your next vacation better. Check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1310 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy April, everybody. I hope you had a great Easter weekend. And now we are back to what we do here. It's a trip report on a Monday. And hopefully you enjoyed that bonus show. We won't get into that right now, but we're going to have a good time talking Disney Cruise Line today. And let me just tell you, you know, we record these shows sometimes a couple weeks early, a week early, just to get ahead of things on Mondays. But this one is very needed for our friends in the Northeast. At the time that we're recording, they're going through their 17th Nor'easter of the season, I think. And now they're moving into spring. So, Lord help us. We need to talk about palm trees, cruise ships, and oceans. So let's do that today. Let's bring in our friend up from the Northeast, Georgiana. How you doing tonight? And I know you're up there battling the storm as we speak.
I'm doing great. Keeping warm inside with the 12 to 18 inches falling outside right now.
Oh, mercy. Hopefully by the time the show comes out here in about 10 days that maybe it'll be 75 and sunny when you're listening to the show out on your deck. How's that sound?
We can only hope. I got to ship the snow and ice off the deck first, though.
It's baseball season now. Come on now. We need to get into this. All right. So like I said, we're going to talk about cruising today. I'm really excited because we tend to talk about the dream and the fantasy quite a bit here on the show because they go out of Port Canaveral. And then they're bigger ships, so more people sail those. But today we're going to talk about a fun cruise on the Disney Magic. So tell us when you went and what was your itinerary?
Sure. So my daughter's school district has off the week before President's Day. So we get, it's usually the first or second-ish week of February. So we took off on our wonderful cruise on the Disney Magic. We left on Friday, February 9th, and we got back to Miami on Wednesday, February 14th. It was a wonderful five-night cruise. We stopped in Key West, Nassau, and Castaway Key and had a day at sea as well.
All right. So now, were you a veteran Disney cruiser, or was this your first-time cruise?
This was actually our very first Disney cruise. My husband and I had gone on a cruise on a different line for our honeymoon, and we loved that you could see so many different ports without even having to repack your bags and get on a plane. And we were really interested in doing that, but we wanted to wait until our daughter was old enough to really enjoy the kids' clubs without needing to pay extra the way you might have to with a baby or an infant or having to worry too much also about napping. So she is seven and we felt this was a really good age for her. She loves Disney. We've been to Disney World, Disneyland, so we knew the customer service and the quality were quite high. Had several friends do Disney cruises, spoke very highly of it, so we were excited to give this a shot.
Good stuff. Okay, so a lot of folks sail out of Port Canaveral, like I said, just because of the proximity to Walt Disney World. A lot of folks build a Walt Disney World vacation into their trip. I've sailed out of Miami as well once on the Wonder. We did a spring break cruise. I think it was a 5-night as well. We went to the Western Caribbean. We went to Cozumel and some places. So I will say that, you know, sailing out of Miami was very efficient and it worked well. Disney does a great job of getting guests on the ship and all that, but it didn't have the exact same feel as Port Canaveral because obviously Disney owned and built that terminal for them, you know, specifically for them, where it seems like they're renting out some space down in Miami. But how did you feel about the embarkation process out of Miami?
We were very impressed. When we registered and put all our paperwork through the Disney website, it gives you the option to select the time you want to go on your embarkation to get on the ship. So we had tried to select the earliest time possible, and we actually got 11:30, which my understanding is, I guess if a cruise is really packed for a first-time cruiser, it might be more difficult to get those earlier times. But we were really happy to have an early time. Had a couple snags getting to the port on our shuttle, but fortunately we got there right about 11:30. Was not crowded at all. Walked right in, got our key card set up, took some pictures. Went into the embarkation waiting area, got some more pictures, and we were probably walking on the ship maybe 15 minutes after our port arrival time. So we were probably on there 11:45, 12 o'clock. I was very impressed with the efficiency and the speed, and there was plenty for kids to do and see, even if you had to wait.
Good to hear. And I'll tell you real quick that when we went down out of Miami, we drove our own car, so we we're, you know, navigating ourselves. I got lost going to the port. We were all over, like, we were close. I just couldn't exactly get to where we needed to be for the parking garage. Finally, we made it there. Because, of course, you know, everybody's like that on a cruise. Like, you see the first glimpse of the ships, and you're, like, losing your mind. Like, I got to get on the ship. I can't wait. It's right there. So then we just had a navigation issue, probably because I was not paying attention to what I was doing. I was so excited. So finally, we get into the garage, park, you know, and get all of our stuff and get on the ship and have a great cruise. The problem was, again, it was my excitement. I'm like a 2-year-old when it comes to Disney vacations. I'm not kidding, because I get so excited. I'm just like a kid on Christmas. That we got out of the car, and I totally forgot what level of... I didn't write anything down. Like, what level did I park on? What part of the garage were we in? And when we got back, I literally spent 45 minutes searching the parking garage for our Trailblazer with the key fob, trying to get the horn to honk, you know, as I walked up and down the aisles, like I'm listening, you know, somebody else would undo their car. It was the craziest thing. So yeah, I feel your pain with a little frustration getting there. But once you're on that ship, nothing better, right? Because the vacation has started.
Exactly. And that was the perspective my husband had. Once we get on there, everything is behind us. So we definitely relaxed the moment we were walking down the gangway and being announced by the crew on the ship.
So walk us through that, because for a first-time Disney cruiser, that is something that is not to be forgotten. And I still kind of get chills every time I walk on a Disney Cruise Line ship. You know, they get your picture, then you kind of queue up there. You know, sometimes there's not even folks in front of you. They ask you your family's name, and you magically are a part of the ship. You know, they announce you on, and it's just... The ships are just, if you've never been on one, they are just gorgeous. They're so beautiful. They're just like big ballrooms as you enter. And then you know the fun that awaits you. So walk us through that first hour or two on the ship.
Absolutely. One thing a lot of people had mentioned, but I didn't really pay attention to this. When you enter the Magic, I don't know if this is specific to Miami, we didn't enter on that sort of main ground floor level. We entered a level above, so you could still see the beautiful atrium, and it was a wonderful entrance where the crew announces you and everyone's smiling and clapping. It was wonderful, but we didn't get that full, I guess, breathtaking wow. But being a first-time cruiser, I didn't even know. So
true.
It was fantastic in any event. as I said, the waiting area was pretty much where everyone was sort of chomping at the bit to get on, but they staggered really well, so we didn't feel crowded getting on. There were a family or two ahead of us, but they were announced and everyone flowed in very nicely. Everyone got their special time and their special moment. And once you get on, you're sort of caught in this, oh my gosh, I'm here. What do I do next?
Totally. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little, we had no idea what to do. So for us, we had heard they were directing us to lunch at Cabanas, the buffet, which is a couple floors up from where we had entered the ship. So that's where we went first. But it was nice that it was a bit of a walk. So we did get to see a little bit of the ship as we were going there. And once we got to Cabanas, it's nice. There was an indoor area, outdoor area. And when you're at the buffet area, that's really sort of the lifeblood of the ship because all the activities sort of revolve around that area.
Yeah, that's the first thing you do when you get on a Disney cruise. You go eat lunch. You know, that's what you're looking forward to because you're going to eat for
exactly.
The next 5, 6, 7 days, however long you're on the ship. You're going to have awesome meals. And I really enjoy Cabanas, you know, the place where you can go get a quick meal. It's not, you know, it's kind of like a buffet. You just walk your way through and pick up all the food that you like. They have dessert stations, ice cream, anything you could imagine. You know, it's definitely a luxurious vacation experience. Now, let me ask you this. So what were your overall impressions of the ship? Say that first, time period that you got to explore a little before dinner, that first dinner. So, you know, it's a little bit less undiscovered, I think, nowadays with all the YouTube videos and bloggers and so forth. You know, I think in years past, it was more of like, wow, I didn't know this or I didn't know that. Because I think now, even as a first-time cruiser, if you want, you can know probably every single thing about the ship before you arrive. So did you dive deep into the videos and stuff like that? Or were there any things that kind of surprised you about your first encounter on the Magic?
Well, I shouldn't say I dive deep, but my 7-year-old daughter was all over YouTube watching the tours of the ship, the family videos of their vacation. She saw the princess meets. She saw little bits and pieces of the theaters. So she was really our tour guide in a way. But nothing really compares to actually being there yourself because you haven't walked through the different sections of the ship. You really just saw what other people had done. So that was kind of exciting. What impressed me the most was how many different areas of the ship there really were dedicated to different activities. From sort of the forward area of the ship at the very bottom, they had 3 different sort of bar-themed club areas for adults with a bunch of stuff that went on there during the day. They had sort of midsection lounges for activities. They had the specialty restaurants, of course, where you do your dining rotations. Palo is up on the 10th floor. All the theaters, they have the big theater where they put on the musical productions, but then they also had the movie theater where you could see the new Disney releases. So really, I was so surprised by those different areas, but the kids club as well, those were quite impressive. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see the clubs for the teens during the open houses, but we did experience the Oceaneers Club and the Oceaneers Lab, which is where our daughter spent a very large amount of our vacation completely by choice. It was so difficult to get her to even leave, but that facility as well was just state-of-the-art, top-notch, everything very clean, very fun. My husband was saying he wished he could spend some time in the kids club without her.
I know. You know, actually, Pam and I walked through the Vibe and the Edge, which are the tweens and the teens club on the Dream a couple of years ago. And I was really jealous because they have all the stuff that like a dude my age would like. You know, they got the video games. They had, you know, it was all based on technology, you know, like the technology, because, you know, let's face it, I love my Twitter. I love my iPhone and stuff. It was all there. And they had some of the best. They had a private pool up there. They had a great overlook of the ship. I mean, they make each age group, each demographic on the cruise feel very special. You know, the adult areas, like you mentioned. One of the challenges, though, that I found with Mallory was that She was a little tentative to go into the kids' clubs at first because she didn't have a friend initially. You know, she was there with just us. And so but I think they do a good job of kind of like with icebreakers, having the kids meet each other. She did really enjoy things like they had a baking class where they made cupcakes and they made cookies. They had a science experiment. It was very hands-on, and it wasn't just like going in and watching movies or going in and just running around and playing tag. There was a lot of really cool, interesting programming for the kids. So your daughter found that as well?
Yes, and I completely agree with what you're saying, having the activities to draw them in. But at the same time, what I loved about it was if a kid wasn't into the structured activity that they built into the program, they had like 10 different options of other things that they could try instead. And so I think that was something my daughter enjoyed. Sometimes she'd come back and say, oh, I drove the ship for a little bit. Or other times she would come back, oh, we had a pajama party with Pluto when he came to visit, or Belle came to read a story, or we made cookies or slime with the science, super sloppy science setup. So really amazing programming, structured and unstructured.
You don't even want to know how much slime's around this house since our cruise this past summer where they did it in the kids club. She's always making slime now because she did it on the cruise in the kids club, and then she found YouTube videos. I guess that's like the big thing. I mean, they even have it at like Michael's, the craft shop, you know, like kits. You buy glue, you buy this junk, and she's always making slime. And so, oh, it's science, so you can't really, you know, she doesn't want me yelling at her. I just know it doesn't have the borax, doesn't have the bad stuff in it. So I'm trying to be a good parent and encourage science and sloppiness. So anyway, it's so funny that you mentioned that. So let me ask you about your stateroom, because that's where you call home while you're on the cruise. So how did that work out? What kind did you have?
Sure. So my husband and I think spoiled ourselves for the future to come. And on our honeymoon, we had a veranda stateroom. So it had a balcony to the outside. And we had stayed in the aft of the ship, so it was quieter. So we booked something like that for this ship. It was an aft. It was sort of on the side, though. It wasn't in the very back. And I believe they call it a navigator's veranda.
Yes,
so it
yes.
was slightly enclosed, but it was still open air outside in the sun. That had appealed to us mostly for our daughter because we didn't want her getting any brilliant ideas about climbing up over the edge or anything like that. Plus, it gave us a chance to be outside but still be a little covered because the sides of the balcony being somewhat enclosed gave us a little more shade or less wind. And we definitely used the veranda quite a bit in the afternoons to relax and take in some sun. But otherwise, we found the room to be quite spacious. We are a family of three. But I think even if we were a family of four, we would have fit very well. There was plenty of storage. Of course, they have the split bathroom, which was wonderful in terms of getting ready for dinner or just having an extra space to brush my teeth and not having to wait for someone to get out of the bathroom if they're showering. So that was quite nice. And my daughter said her bed was quite comfortable. The couch was made into a bed, a single twin, but instead of folding out, the way you might see someone's pull-out couch. Our stateroom attendant, we had to call him one night because she wanted to go to bed. He actually flipped the bed. It's hard to describe, but he flipped the back over, and it was magically this perfectly made bed, and he just put a pillow on there, and it was very comfortable, she said.
It's Disney magic at its finest. You're tired, you need a bed.
Exactly.
Wham! There it is. I love it. Sounds like they've done that a couple hundred times, probably. that's a good experience of Disney. Yeah, those navigators' verandas are really nice. You know, you can get them basically for about the cost of an ocean view many times, just slightly more. You get a little bit bigger stateroom. Like you said, it's kind of a nice wind block because it's not an open full veranda, but it's got kind of an open porthole, big porthole basically cut in the side of the ship. There's not a lot of them, but it's a great kind of hidden thing to explore. I've sailed in a navigator's veranda too and found it a very nice accommodation. Now, let me ask you about the ports, because Key West is one that only gets hit upon every now and then. You know, Disney Cruise Line doesn't go there a ton of times in a year. So what did you think about Key West and sailing there?
We had never been to any of the ports, and we had talked for a couple of years about going down to Key West. Had friends who've gone, loved it. And so we're really excited about it. it's great that it's a U.S. port, so we didn't have to worry about exchanging money necessarily or not being able to communicate with people there. So that was a comfort to us, as well as being with our daughter, because we knew that we would want to take her around and see the sights with her. So we got off the ship pretty early, and we had planned our own day there. And one of the things we'd wanted to do was to see some of the historic sites. So we went to see the Ernest Hemingway House with probably a good small percentage of our cruise ship, saw many familiar faces there, and had a great time. We walked down to the southernmost point, which it was hilarious. Our ship was the only ship in port that day, but I was surprised we got down there and there was a line a good 15, 20 minutes long just to take a picture with this sort of painted buoy that they have there.
I've always wondered about that because I've seen so many pictures with that buoy that you're speaking of. And I'm like, I want to get my picture with that someday when I ever go to Key West. But I've always wondered because it seems like there's nobody around in everybody's picture. But I'm like, there has to be a line for that because I know that everybody that's there is typically on a cruise or just, you know, vacationing there. But I know a lot of cruise ships stop there. So I'm glad you told me that because in my back of my mind, I've always been like, I know there's got to be a long line to get your picture there.
There was. And so the big joke between everyone and the line was, we're on a Disney cruise, yet we're here taking a picture with the buoy and it's not a character, but we're still waiting 20 minutes to do it.
Where's your fast pass? And where's Mickey?
I know, right?
That's it. Don't say that. They'll have Mickey next to the buoy and it'll be a, you know, you'll need to get your photo pass or something like that. So anyway, so you found Key West, though, as a pleasant destination there for the day.
Absolutely. There are definitely some touristy areas, but we felt that the sights we saw and just walking around, it was really nice. It was weather-wise a wonderful day. It was sunny and beautiful. But our daughter, from the second we got off the ship until the second she could see that ship, total fear of missing out. What's going on in the kids' club right now? What's on the schedule today? I want to go back. I want to go back. What are they doing? They're having fun without me.
Tell your daughter we're kindred spirits. Yeah. I feel the exact same. Every time I get off at Nassau, I'm like, what? I just want to be back on the ship. You know, the food's better. I've already paid for it. There's stuff going on that I really enjoy. Why did I get off the ship? Nassau, that is me. That is so, because I've been there. I think I'm part, I have part citizenship in Nassau at this point. I'm part Bahamian because every cruise stops at Nassau just about because of the registry of the ship. So when you guys headed to Nassau, again, this was your first time. Did you get off and what'd you do in Nassau?
So my husband's been to Nassau a few times and we had talked about going over to Atlantis or one of the other resorts on the beach, but it was another thing where, well, we've already paid for this wonderful vacation on the ship and would we rather go sit on a beach under the sun or be on the ship sitting by the pool under the sun? So we did get off and we walked around the downtown quite a bit, saw a couple of the historic sites. We walked up, there's a fort, and if you walk up to the top of the hill that it's on, you pay a small admittance fee, but you can go to the top there and it's a beautiful overview of the city and you can see the resorts, which is really impressive to see from afar. But then my husband was, let's get back to the ship. Fear of missing out then, I guess. He wanted his pool time, his aqua dunk. He was ready to go. Same thing you said. I've paid for my meals. I know what I'm getting there. Let's go back. So I hear a lot of people do say they use Nassau as a ship day because, as you said, they've already sort of paid for their vacation day that day. So that's sort of what we did. And I did not find the ship to be crowded at all. It was very comfortable, no waits for anything. And the staff on the Magic actually had a couple activities going on. So you didn't feel like they sort of left you to your own devices to just sit by the pool. They had different classes and seminars and various games going on. So we had a good time as a family. And then, of course, my daughter right back in the kids' club because how else are you going to please her on this vacation?
But that's a good tip, though. I think, you know, especially for first-time cruisers, you need to get off of Nassau and just explore because it's a new place. You know, and like, the first time I went there, I did the same thing. I went to the fort, kind of explored some of the historic sites. You know, the thing is, like, we usually go to the straw market, which is okay. I mean, it seems very exotic for a family from Missouri, and it is. But, you know, in the end, you're just buying a bunch of junk made out of straw, you know, and we've done it before. So I get that FOMO. I want to be back on the ship and having a good time. So I get that. Now we're building up to Castaway Cay because this is, and we kind of talked about this before we start recording, the destination of the best destination on the itinerary. So what'd you think when you arrived at Castaway Cay, and how was that day for you?
Sure. We were really looking forward to Castaway Cay. We had booked some packages to go snorkeling and ride some bikes while we were there. So my daughter was really looking forward to going snorkeling. She hadn't done that before. And of course, as a family, we had wanted to do the Castaway Cay 5K as well. So my husband was sort of looking forward to that because we'd heard you get a medal. So he was excited to do some sort of activity other than lounging around by the pool. So that's how our day started. And what's really nice is if a family is doing a 5K and their child isn't old enough to participate, which was 10 years old, they can go to Scuttles Cove, which is akin to the kids club on Castaway Cay. And so the group will go out to the start line, but they'll stop at Scuttles Cove and they'll wait until everyone's checked in there. And then they'll bring you to where the race is going to be and start the race. So we were very happy about that because we were concerned we wouldn't be able to do the 5K without someone staying with our daughter. So that was a nice option that they had. And once we finished that, we went back to the ship, got cleaned up, and then it was on to our day at Castaway Cay. We went out to the Pelican Plunge, which is fantastic. The big water feature with slides. We went snorkeling, saw an enormous sea turtle. My husband said he almost questioned whether Disney had brought in the sea turtle just for people who were snorkeling.
It was a robot. It was an animatronic.
Oh, it was incredible. I've never seen a sea turtle before just in the wild. It was enormous. It was the coolest thing. And, of course, we saw the Mickey statue and under the water. And we had a good time riding bikes, enjoyed cookies too. Our daughter loved Scuttles Cove, so we brought her back just for a little bit so my husband and I could go out to Serenity Bay. And let me tell you, there is a huge difference between the family beaches in Serenity Bay. We had a great time on the family beach with our daughter, very happy. But when you're in Serenity Bay, it is silent.
Stop it. Stop it. We never get to go to Serenity Bay. Stop. No, I know you're exactly right. I've been there. I've heard rumors of Serenity Bay. I'm just kidding.
It was amazing how quiet it was. And there were so many people there, and it was just, you could hear the ocean going in and out. It was amazing.
And they have good food.
We weren't there that long.
Don't they serve? They serve pretty good. They serve pretty good food at that bar there too, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I think they have things like steaks and everything back there, right? Did you happen to check that out?
We heard rumors, but by the time we got out there, they had finished serving. Actually, the tram we took to go back to the family side, the entire cook staff from Serenity Bay was on the tram. And so the tram actually started pulling away, and then one of the cooks almost missed it. He was running next to the tram, and someone's yelling, "We have a runner!" And he popped on. Yeah, it was hilarious. Glad he made it. But yeah, I guess they had to be back to the ship by a certain time to get dinner started. So
let me get this right. Okay, so this is one stop at Castaway Cay. You did the 5K. Your daughter did Scuttles Cove. You ate at Cookies. You went to the family beach. You went to Serenity Bay. You rented bikes. You snorkeled and you did Pelican Plunge all in one trip. That's amazing.
It was a pretty busy trip.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't think I've done all that in the last 5 years. That's awesome. That's great, though, because, I mean, that's it. I mean, that's the thing. I think that's the, you know, Castaway Cay, I tell people, it's almost like paradise because it's Disney at its best. It's very relaxing. But the whole time, and this is just my personality, but I think a lot of Disney fans tend to think this way, that while I'm there, you know, I've counted down this cruise. Like right now, I'm counting down to the podcast cruise in June of 2019. You know, I've got the countdown going here on the desk, and, you know, I know how many days it is, how many hours it is, and so forth. And you look forward to it for over a year, you know, maybe sometimes a year, 2 years. And so when that cruise happens, time speeds up so fast when you're on the ship. And then when you get to Castaway Cay, you know you're there like a matter of not even 12 hours. You're there for like 8 hours and the time just flies. But your body, you know, you tell yourself in your mind, I'm supposed to relax. I'm in paradise. You know, I should just chill on the beach. But I think you got a kind of that bug that I want to experience it all while I'm here because, you know, in 5 hours, that ship's going to be floating and I have to be on it. You know, it's a tough thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. My husband sometimes says he needs vacation from our vacation because we're so busy. But we all had a great time. It was fantastic. And once we got back, there was some pirate and princess party my daughter had seen on schedule. So, of course, it was sort of once she was done with Scuttle's Cove, it was on to the next thing. The party is coming. We got to make it.
That's how it is, though. And that's what I love about it. And that's kind of what I was going to ask you, is that one of my favorite things to do on a cruise, especially Disney, is the stuff that's on the personal navigator, the programming that they provide. We've done towel folding as a family. We've gone to the diaper dash and watched the little kids that can't walk yet. They crawl. It's kind of Jack's diaper dash. We've done tequila tastings. We've done champagne tastings, which I'd never even really had, or some wine. I'm not even, I don't drink that stuff, but we went because it was like $10, you know, and you got like samples and they taught you about how it was made and where it comes from. And you got to go into some of these clubs that we never would have gone into, like Pink and all these other places. So was there anything that you did as far as the programming on board the ship, maybe on your sea day or anything like that, that stood out to you?
Well, my daughter was very proud that we won Family Pictionary.
Nice.
And we got little Mickey medals to wear. And then my husband was even more proud. We won TV theme show trivia.
Yes.
We teamed up with a honeymoon couple we'd seen around the ship, and we won that. So he was very proud of that medal, but he's now proudly displaying at home. But as you said, there's so many other things that they have on the schedule to keep you active and engaged. My husband went to towel folding. I went to some of the crafting classes with my daughter. They had several different tastings. They even had a couple private events going on. So people were able to have private events in certain spaces. So it was nice that they had that as an option. And then, of course, you have the water features, the quiet adult pool, the fitness center, the spa. There's so much to do on the ship that we were just really, really impressed with the quality of the programs and the number of options it gave us.
Yeah, don't you too feel like the more you get involved, the better the cruise is? Because I'll say, you know, I'm one of those people that, like you said, we'll show up for almost any trivia. You know, there was even on our podcast cruise last summer, there was a fantasy baseball draft simulation in one of the bars one afternoon, you know, did that with a bunch of guys. You know, it was just like the more you get involved, you get to really interact with the cruise director's staff. And if you've never been on a cruise, the cruise director's staff are it's a group of usually about 10 to 15 folks that are in charge of entertaining the entirety of the ship. You know, all the guests with as many activities as they can bring to you. And some of them are the trivia hosts. Some of them are the bingo hosts. But the thing is, as you go around and participate in more and more events, they'll host all the game shows, that it seems like you almost build up a rapport with those folks. And it just makes the cruise more fun for you when you get involved. That's my opinion. I know a lot of people just like to chill and do nothing, but I like to really get out there and kind of seize the moment and have a good time. Because when else can you pretend like you're on a game show or do stuff like that? You know, I think that's an opportunity wasted if you don't try it.
Absolutely. We definitely got to know Dustin and Timmy and Samantha pretty well because they saw us everywhere and we saw them. So I thought that was nice because it, again, engaged us more in the cruise and I think really gave us a positive reflection on what we did because we had such a great time and they were so interactive.
All right. So as we wrap up today's show, boy, this goes fast, just like a cruise. And I wish I was on a cruise right now. But so lessons learned, your first time on a Disney cruise. If you were to do this again, or, you know, there's a listener out there today, I'm sure, that's considering their first Disney cruise. They're a Disney fan. Maybe they go to the parks a lot. What would you tell them today to think about maybe something surprised you or something you learned from this experience?
Sure. Again, going back to the programming, just give something a try. If you show up to the spin the wheel game and you're not enjoying it, you can find something else to enjoy. But it's fun to at least see what that's all about.
Awesome.
Definitely check out the pool, check out the water features, because those are really fun. The kids love them, the families love them, and just give everything a shot. If you don't like it, you can try it again later in the cruise, or maybe not. You can hang out on your veranda and read a book. There's so many options. Don't feel like you have to do everything, but if something piques your interest, you should definitely give it a shot.
100% agree. Oh, that's so great. Well, thanks for taking us back on the magic today and helping us, you know, in our mind's eye, we're seeing palm trees and soft waves and warm ocean breezes. So sounds like you had a great time, and we really appreciate your time today. Thanks for starting the week the right way with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to escape the snowfall, even if it's just in my mind.
That's it. Hang in there. I'll throw you a virtual shovel when we're done here. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mike. Take care.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. Two great books when you're snowed in or when you're on a cruise even. You know, best of both worlds here. You're stuck in your house because it's freezing and there's, you know, 18 inches of snow, or you have nothing to do and you're sitting on a quiet Serenity Bay. Either way, two great books for the Disney fan in your life. You've got the original, The Wisdom of Walt, focusing on Disneyland, and the new book by Dr. Jeff Barnes, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. Both focus on Walt Disney and how he got the most out of those around him. And there's tips in there that Walt left us to help you, not only with the Disney history, that's fun stuff, but also tips for making the most of your relationships, building relationships, making yourself better with your friends, family, coworkers. Great reads anytime. So check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And when you're at Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or even Universal, stay out of line. See the most amount of attractions possible on that next vacation with your premium subscription to touringplans.com. So for the price of, let's say, a couple of soft pretzels with cream cheese from Tomorrowland, you're going to get 365 days of great information. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. Now, we're talking cruising today. Don't forget, the Be Our Guest Podcast Cruise 5, the fifth time we're doing this, is booking right now. We're going to sail the Disney Dream, five-night Bahamian sailing. We're going to go to Castaway Key twice, not just once. We're going twice on June 28th of 2019. We've got some great rates, awesome staterooms. So if you want to, you know, get some numbers on that, possibly sail it to Be Our Guest Podcast. We're going to be doing a live show on the ship. We're going to be doing private events. We're going to have a great time. Just drop me an email, mike@beourguestpodcast.com. We'll get you some numbers and see if we can get you on that sailing. I promise you, friends are made forever on these cruises, and it's a blast. So again, June 28th of 2019, the Be Our Guest Podcast Cruise version 5. We'd love to have you there with us. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. And we've got an awesome Facebook group at facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, that's going to do it for today. So it's time to head back to work. So thanks so much for joining us. For Georgiana, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.